Greetings and welcome to the Renaissance First Podcast. As always, it's a pleasure to have you here with us. I'm your host, Judas X, and I'm broadcasting to you live from the RFP headquarters. If this is your first time joining us for the RFP experience, man, come on in, make yourself comfortable. But if you're a returning national, we appreciate you for tapping back in, and it's a pleasure to have you as a part of the Renaissance family. I always have to reiterate that here at the Renaissance First Podcast, we aspire to inspire until we expire. Enough respect to Les Brown for providing us with the only slogan that we feel could encapsulate the very essence of this podcast. I personally believe that the distance between you and your higher self is just information. So the goal of this podcast is to provide the listeners with resourceful tools to help in navigating life's obstacles and innovating new approaches to problem solving through new perspectives, ideologies, and conceptual frameworks. This is the second installment of the Universal Life Principles series, and like I said in episode one, man, we're building a monumental structure, so we have to make sure the foundation is solid. With that idea in mind, we created a visual representation of the five principles that guide not only myself, but also this podcast, and we're calling it the RFP Pyramid of Principles. We figured it would be easier for you to follow along if you had a visual representation, something you could just recall in your mind. So, you know, innovation. When I think about monumental, and I think about longevity, something that's been around for a really long time, a pyramid was the only thing I could think about, so it just kind of made sense to me. It's divided into five sections: preparation, execution, resilience, excellence, and osmosis. I know five seems to be a theme, the five P's, now it's five principles, yeah. We explored preparation in episode one when we looked at the five P's. Proper preparation prevents poor performance. Today we're looking at execution, which is number two, the second step up on the pyramid. All of the principles are intertwined, are interconnected in some way, shape, or form when you look at it. But I think that the first two, preparation and execution, I think it's easier to see the linkage between both of them. And when I get to the illustrative story at the end of the episode, I think it's going to be more obvious when I highlight it there. Ah, yes, one thing I forgot to mention. Each principle has a quote associated with it. So preparation, the five P's, like I said today, we're covering execution. And the quote for today is, a brilliant idea that lacks action is a wasted thought. A brilliant idea that lacks action is a wasted thought. So that's the quote that's associated with execution. But before we could even get to the execution principle, we'll be exploring a relevant topic today that's near and dear to my heart, because I think it does demonstrate just how powerful the mind is if you learn how to use it. And the topic for today is self-limiting beliefs. I like to open every episode with a quote, so I'll use this quote to set the tone for the episode, because I think it just echoes everything that we're going to cover today. The quote is by Dr. Price Pritchard, and he said, most of us can be found flying too close to the ground because too often we don't give ourselves permission to soar. Ah, finally, some exceptional company. I felt it in my spirit that something good was about to happen, you know. Welcome to the Judas Jews Corner. I'm Judas Hendricks, your guide throughout the episodes, providing the necessary background information that you need on a person, topic, or concept that was mentioned in the episode to make sure that you stay abreast with what's happening. Lots of great information to cover today, so you're going to be here quite a bit. So my suggestion is that you find a nice spot. But in the interest of you receiving this information the right way, and we not running the risk of information overload, we divided this episode into three parts. Off the record, believe me, you can thank me later. In part one, we're going to look at beliefs and the implications on behavior. In part two, we're going to look at self-limiting beliefs, the different categories and ways to minimize self-limiting belief. And then we're going to close with number three, the execution principle, and give that illustrative story to tie it all together. And one more quick point to add, the RFP Pyramid of Principles, if you rock with that, that's all me. Don't mind you see the other guy out there showboating, acting like he did that. That's all me. Any innovation around here? Yeah, that's me. For problem solving, you know who to call. But now to Dr. Pritchard. Dr. Price Pritchard is chairman and CEO of Pritchard LP, one of the leading consulting firms in that realm of business. He's researched, developed, and implemented proven approaches to assist individuals and organizations in every type of business to address their toughest challenges. He's received global recognition for his innovative approaches on organizational change, merger integration strategies, corporate culture, and fast growth. And the book that we're leveraging today is called U Squared, a high velocity formula for multiplying your effectiveness in quantum leaps. Yes, that's the whole title, and I had to do this take quite a few times, but you know, I do that for y'all, I got y'all. His definition of a quantum leap is navigating uncharted territories in the absence of a guide to follow, and basically mapping your plan as you go. He further elaborates on using quantum leap strategies for breakthrough performances, which we're going to look at later on in the episode. I'm telling you, man, it's 33 pages of innovative approaches on how to multiply your output in less time. I felt like it was necessary for you to have this background information going further into the episode. So hopefully you found this helpful. Now back to the episode. And I think that's super relatable because there's many a times you tell yourself you can't until you do the thing. I was not podcasting 6 months ago. So you have to be super mindful of the things that you'll be telling yourself because the internal talk is powerful. So just a couple quick questions for you to consider before we actually get into the material. Have you ever thought about why you believe what you believe? And have you ever looked for objective facts to support them? Do you really believe what you believe because they're true? Or they're just true because you believe them? And how often should you reevaluate what you believe, especially when it comes to things that you think you can accomplish? Well, based on what I've researched so far, it's actually very important to challenge the things that you believe on a regular basis to see if new information has become available to make the things that you thought to be true to now be false. And it's very interesting how beliefs work and how they dictate your behavior and your functions throughout your life. And I think it's going to be very interesting as we progress through this episode, but I'll let you be the judge of that. And the rationale behind that is that we're living in an information age. Things are changing rapidly, and if you don't pay attention, you could miss the change. I think an obvious example would be Blockbuster versus Netflix. Blockbuster missed the change, Netflix was paying attention, and they were able to capitalize. So when you hear the word belief, what do you think about? Because by definition, a belief is a deeply held attitude or assumption that we create about who we are, how the world works, what we're capable of accomplishing, and what's possible. So if you ask me, that's something super powerful, and I think you should be very mindful about the things you choose to believe. Myron Golden, yes, yes, and welcome back to the Julius Jules corner. You'd think by now we'd have a sign or something saying that somewhere, right? Oh, glad to see my ideas are being incorporated. See what I told you earlier? Innovation, you know who to call. But anyway, Myron Golden is one of the most multifaceted individuals that I've ever come across, with an extensive wealth of knowledge and an amazing aptitude for communicating very complex ideas in a very simple manner. He's known as a business growth strategist, best-selling author, and a phenomenal inspirational speaker. Myron has dedicated his existence to empowering individuals to attain success, starting from anywhere. Myron demonstrates this in his life story, starting out as a trash man making $6.20 an hour to now being a multi-millionaire. He actually wrote a best-selling book on his journey called From the Trash Man to the Cash Man, How Anyone Could Get Rich Starting from Anywhere. Myron takes his readers to wealth building with profound simplicity and depth. Myron teaches business principles based on the Bible, where he shares his tactics, strategies, principles, and essence of business building with his audience. By sharing his innovative philosophies, Myron is able to teach everyone at their individual levels how to elevate their lives and participate in building wealth. Myron is an advocate for entrepreneurship, and his perspective on the social construct at large is very interesting, to say the least. He's also known for one of the most watched TED Talks, where he explores the concept of focus. Some of the ideas we'll be covering today in this episode, where we'll be leveraging his book Boss Moves, one of his bestsellers. In this book, he teaches 4 moves to scale your business. This book articulates the importance of belief, focus, and perseverance on the road to success. These are 2 books that I definitely do recommend checking out. As always, the links will be in the description below. I wanted to be sure to give you that background information on Myron so you could understand the depths of his knowledge, because I really do believe that his ideas on focus could change your perspective. Now back to the episode. He explains in his book Boss Moves that when a fact enters your mind, your focus puts a frame around it. That frame is what is used to develop what is known as a belief. Contrary to popular belief, faith and doubt are both belief systems. It's the equivalent of heads and tails on a coin. One coin, 2 sides. Doubt is the belief in the outcome that you don't want. Faith is the belief in the outcome that you do want. Both are always present at the same time. One does not mean the absence of the other. It's more about a choice. Oftentimes, the premise for your skepticism stems from past experiences where we accepted flawed or incomplete conclusions to be truth and fact, basically expecting that because it went this way in the past, it's going to go the same way again in the future. And as a result of those preconceived notions, you begin operating as if those inaccurate ideas about your potential are true. But if you absolutely must doubt something, if you feel the need like you have to doubt something, I suggest that you doubt your limits. Because when you commit to something that you doubt is going to work, that belief is going to function in such a way to ensure that it sabotages your success. The frames that we create around the facts drive our focus, which dictates the feeling that you're going to get, that determines the function that you're going to perform. So essentially, the flow is facts, focus, feeling, function. I know, lots of F words, but the most important thing to focus on in this equation is whatever your focus tells you about the facts is what really matters. Because the frame your focus creates around the fact is what's going to determine which side of the belief coin you're operating from. whether faith or doubt. Whatever you focus on amplifies. In other words, you tend to find what you're looking for. That's why a solution-based approach to problem solving always proves to be more fruitful. This is often referred to as a growth mindset. So if you're only going to look for problems, chances are that's all you'll ever find. If you never change your focus, what you see will never change. According to Myron Golden, focus is exponentially more important than what's there. He used this amazing analogy referring to when you're using a high-performance lens on a camera. If it focuses on one thing, everything else gets blurry. And I think that was a perfect illustration of what focus is. Myron recommends focusing on things that are going to have major impact in generating momentum to get you closer to your goals, as opposed to focusing on things that have minimal impact. For instance, if you are going to the gym, it's more important to focus on the routine that you're going to perform and your nutrition, your diet, as opposed to focusing on the clothes that you're going to wear or what equipment is in the facility. Because if you don't have a good routine, it kind of doesn't really matter what equipment they have in the facility. So basically focusing on things that are going to generate major returns for your input. Input ultimately dictates output. So if you don't like your results, you need to change something about the formula. Trying hard at something that doesn't work isn't necessarily going to produce better results. There's a powerful story by Dr. Price Pritchett in his book called U Squared that I tell you about because I think it articulates clearly, one, the detriments of focusing on the wrong thing, and two, trying harder at something that's evidently not working may be the very thing that's preventing you from getting the outcome that you desire. Because if you don't change the formula, it's hard to expect the output to change. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing and expecting a different result. So the story is about a fly, and I gave the fly a name just to give it some more color, so meet Bob. So to open the book, Dr. Pritchett recalls himself sitting in a quiet room observing a small fly depleting the last of its short life's energy in a futile attempt to fly through the glass in a windowpane. The whining wings of Bob tell a heartbreaking story of his strategy to just try harder. Although the approach is not working, his strategy is just to give it more effort. The irony in the entire situation is that the struggle is actually part of the trap, because I know and you know that there's nowhere for Bob to exert enough force to break through that glass. So he's doomed to die on that windowsill. Now here's the real kicker of the story. Just across the room is an open door, but Bob's inability to readjust his focus is preventing him from seizing the opportunity that he actually desires. With only a fraction of the energy he's currently exerting, he can liberate himself from this self-imposed prison. A breakthrough is literally steps away. All he has to do is change his focus. However, Bob is hellbent on sticking to this flawed strategy. Trying harder doesn't necessarily mean you're going to achieve more, and it may never offer any real returns for all the effort that you put in. When you find yourself in a situation like Bob, this could lead to the known phenomenon as learned helplessness. This is a state that occurs when a person has experienced a stressful situation repeatedly, and as a result, they begin to believe that the situation is out of their control and there's nothing they can do to change it. So they don't even make an attempt, even when there's a clear opportunity that they can seize. The mental disposition or attitude of a person is what predetermines that person's response to or interpretation of a situation. I guess that's where they say attitude determines altitude. All behavior is driven by belief. We're not born with pre-installed ideas and interpretations of what we're capable of accomplishing. This is often done through programming. We learn these fixed and limited ways of thinking from the people around us or the culture that we're exposed to. Excellent illustration of this concept is the young baby elephant with a stake tied in the ground. When it's a baby, the elephant is not strong enough to pull the stake out the ground. So eventually, the elephant stops trying because he learns his efforts are futile. He's unable to see the incremental improvements. As the elephant grows, it has more than enough strength to pull the stake out the ground. I know, and you know, that the elephant could pull the stake out the ground. But he's not even going to try because he's been taught as a child that he could never pull the stake out the ground. So the elephant is going to stay tied to this stake, something as inconsequential as a piece of rope and metal, because he believes that he can't pull the stake out the ground. And that is the phenomenon known as learned helplessness. Because the easiest way to make a man believe he's not powerful is to make him believe that he's powerless. Because then he would operate as such, and he would never try to do anything extravagant or out of the ordinary. But another very important point that I'd like to highlight and underline in the story is that not because you weren't capable of doing the thing then means that you can't do it in the future. And I have a perfect personal illustrative story to basically drive this point home. So back in high school, we had one professor teaching both principles of accounting and principles of business. Now, I was having a very tough time in the accounting class, and the professor used to make me feel like I was very incompetent. Eventually, I was dropped from the class. Now, the professor, she went on maternity leave, and we had a substitute teacher take over the principles of business class. So before you could sit the actual exam, for those who don't know how CXE works, you used to have to do what is called an SBA. So basically, it's like a project that you do before the actual exam, and it counts towards your final grade. So to make a long story short, I did the project, got a really good grade on the project, and when the professor came back from maternity leave, she saw me in the hallway and hugged me and told me, wow, you did such an amazing job. And the whole time I'm thinking, this is the same lady that used to make me feel like I was incompetent in this accounting class telling me that I did an excellent job on this project, right? So fast forward to now, I did an accounting degree and graduated with honors. So the point that I'm trying to drive home yet again is that not because it didn't work in the past means that it cannot work in the future. If you're willing to be bad long enough, you could get good at anything. Your background and circumstances may influence who you are, but we must be accountable for who we become. It's about understanding that we are responsible for our assumptions and attitudes. And when you accept that all your potential is entirely in your control, then the power of that potential grows dramatically. Remember that the belief that you hold in your mind, meaning the facts that you focus on, always manifest as a feeling in your heart. The feeling is either going to empower you to move or disempower you from moving. When you operate from the faith side of the belief coin, the feeling that manifests in your heart is anticipation. Like a kid on Christmas Eve, knowing that the gift that you want is under the tree and you just have to wait. Anticipation is a feeling that empowers action and generates energy. It gets you motivated to do the thing now so you can get the benefit in the future. Now, the flip side of the belief coin is what's known as doubt. And doubt manifests in the feeling of anxiety. When you get that feeling of anxiety, it could be very paralyzing. But what I want to highlight the most is that anxiety is the thief of all your dreams and aspiration, because that is the thing that immobilizes you. Myron did an excellent job explaining the distinct difference between fear and anxiety. He explained that fear is caution over real and present danger, while anxiety is caution over future imagined danger. He further explained that you don't have fear of failure, you have anxiety over failure. Obviously, when you're pursuing new endeavors, you're likely to run into what's known as temporary failure. But you must remember that you are not your mistakes. Never diminish your self-worth over an error. You make mistakes. Mistakes don't make you. Temporary failure is just a learning opportunity in disguise. As Albert Einstein once insightfully said, a person who never makes a mistake never tried anything new. And if he could say that, then I'm liable to make some mistakes too. Never confuse wishing and wanting with pursuing. Positive thinking alone will not suffice. Positive action is when you make the most strides. As they say, faith without works is dead. Pursuit is what makes all the difference. Reaching confidently for what you want alters the odds dramatically and instantly in your favor. Because think about it logically. If you don't shoot, it's impossible to score. Ascending to your higher self requires continuous pursuit. Quantum leaps require you to take the offensive. You can't make exponential gains on your success in a defensive posture. When entering uncharted waters, it requires a willingness to make a mistake. Without allowing yourself to make mistakes and to fail temporarily, you deprive yourself of an opportunity to test your limits and understand exactly what you're capable of accomplishing. You must understand that if you're experiencing no resistance, no difficulty, or no problems, that you may have aimed too low and be hindering yourself from tapping into your true potential. During the challenge is when an immense amount of growth takes place. Temporary failure and loss of momentum is common when you're shifting gears. Many a times in life, everything seems to be falling apart, but most of the time, everything is falling right into place. Problems are an instrumental component in the growing process. I heard a wise man say one time that life is just a series of problems, and the sooner you become a problem solver, life gets easier even though it's getting more complicated. The challenges are part of the equation that is necessary to produce you squared. One thing to remember is that intention is always followed by disruption. And as they say, everything always looks like failure when it's in the middle. Failure is a useful tool when used correctly. It helps you to find the edge of your capabilities and identify exactly where improvements can be made. There's a risk that you associate with failure. It may be real and apparent, but there's also a hidden risk that you must take into consideration when you decide to play it safe and follow the status quo and not pursue the thing that you know you actually want to pursue. That risk of you not getting what you want out of life, not giving yourself the opportunity to self-actualize. Risk is inescapable. There's no decision to risk or not to risk. Risk is ever present because something is always at stake. The only option that you have is to decide which risk that you're going to assume. So, if that's the case, You might as well assume the risk of believing in yourself and operating off the assumption that you can succeed, because the major risk of inaction is settling for only a fraction of what life has to offer you. The thoughts, the media, the conversation, they all have an impact on your subconscious mind. So filling your mind with negativity all day can be robbing you of the very energy that you need to take your life to the next level. Jim Rohn said that your mind is a mental factory. Whatever ingredients you feed into it are going to be the components it uses to produce. So you can't expect the output to be filet mignon if the ingredients are only ramen noodles. No. Don't get me wrong, I love ramen as much as the next guy, but I'm just saying input dictates output. Anxiety is a thing that could also be stemming from asking yourself the wrong questions. So next time you're considering pursuing a new endeavor, ask yourself, man, how wonderful would it be if everything works perfectly? Because positive self-talk is to your mental state what rain is to the forest. So when there's a drought, the seeds of aspiration that you planted are going to have a difficult time flourishing under those conditions, because they're dying of thirst. I never really thought I could start a podcast. I never thought I could do accounting. But here we are. Those things seem to be working out. So my interpretation of that situation is that the only limitations that you have are the ones that you place on yourself. As Wayne Dyer said, there's one grand lie that we are limited. But the reality is, the only limits we have are the ones we believe. Greetings and welcome back to the Judas Jewels Corner. I'm Judas Hendricks. And apparently I've been tasked with closing the episode. I just don't get it, man. Overworked and underpaid. I really need to hurry up and get to this Babylonian system. We looked at the RFP Pyramid of Principles that has the five guiding principles: preparation, execution, resilience, excellence, and osmosis. Then we looked at beliefs and their implications on behavior. A belief, by definition, is a deeply held assumption or attitude that we create about who we are, how the world works, what we deserve, what we are capable of accomplishing, and what's possible. Then we looked at both sides of the belief coin: faith and doubt. Faith fosters anticipation, doubt creates anxiety. Then we briefly touched on focus, exploring the detriments of focusing on the wrong thing, because whatever you focus on amplifies. Remember, we don't want to end up like Bob. Then we close with a Wayne Dyer quote where he said, "There's one grand lie, that is, we are limited. The only limits we have are the ones that we believe." And we're now at the conclusion of the second episode of the Renaissance First podcast. It's been my esteemed pleasure to guide you throughout the episodes today. It's very important to us that you leave the RFP experience with more than what you came with. So hopefully you found some value in the information that was shared here today. Quick shouts out to Chadis and Raisa for the road trip, allowing me to get some inspiration and write the beginning of this episode in the back of the whip. Also, special thank you to all the other individuals that provided useful input, such as Patrick and Jade, just to name a few. I always have to end the episode in the words of the Jigga Man: you could have been anywhere else in the world today, but you're here with me, and I really do appreciate that. Be reminded that you're exponentially more powerful than you think you are. The only thing stopping you is you. I'm looking forward to seeing you on the next episode where we cover self-limiting beliefs. But until that time, continue elevating.